Here we are on Solidarity Breakfast with Annie and Tobiah, and we've got Kath Strong on the line. G'day, Kath. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Yeah, thanks for talking to us this morning. The Victorian Police, or VicPol as they like to call themselves because they're so with it, have been getting up early in the morning and doing dawn raids, haven't they?
They certainly have. So over the last sort of 6 weeks or so, we've seen at least three rounds of police turning up at the door of activists who have been out doing various things and going into their house, raiding them, trashing their place, pulling all of their stuff out, taking their tech, taking them sometimes, taking them into the station. And it's just getting a little bit out of hand, and it's definitely something we need to be keeping an eye on.
Yeah, and it's not, as you said, it's not a particular activist. I mean, activists around particular issues. It's actually quite a free-for-all, isn't it?
Yes. So the first round was around people going to the statue of Zelda the Prano outside Trades Hall and doing a protest about what Anthony Albanese said when he said that Grace Tame was a difficult woman, because how dare she speak up about anything? Women should be quiet. And so they went to make a point about that, and they had the Luke Hilikari from Trades Hall called the police on them, followed them around afterwards to get more information about what they were up to, and a few days later they were all raided. And the next lot was in relation to an anti-war protest that happened at the American embassy, where people went in and did like a theatrical protest, dressed up as billionaires. They poured a bit of oil onto the floor, and that was the extent of that. They all got raided like a couple of weeks later. And there was also another raid that happened that I think was more connected to sort of possibly protests around trans issues. I'm not actually 100% sure about that. But in all instances, we have people just going about their daily lives and suddenly finding armed police like invading their personal space and touching all their stuff and just making their home an unsafe place for them to be. And that is something that you would think you would have to have very, very, very good reason to be doing that. Like people's lives would have to be immediately at risk, I would think, would be the threshold for that sort of activity by the police. But it seems like they're just pulling that out at any opportunity right now.
It's extremely frightening. It makes your home, as you say, your home space feel not safe. And also, we're talking about shared places, aren't we, where it's not just the people that they're targeting, but people who are also living in these places are experiencing the same threat by the police.
Yes, that's right. So we're talking about the families of these people. And there was one case where a flatmate of one of the people that the police were targeting was somebody who is often in their house because they have health conditions, chronic health conditions. They can't leave the house as much as they would like. When the police came in, this person requested that the police put on face masks so that her risk of catching anything from them would be reduced. And the police refused to do that. And I think that is particularly, this whole thing is disgusting, but that's particularly disgusting that somebody has identified to them that they are in a vulnerable category, that they are a person who is at risk, and the police couldn't even be bothered to take this tiny step to make that person more safe. And this wasn't even the person that they were looking for. I mean, not that they should have done it if it was the person they were looking for, but that a bystander to this whole process was not considered important enough for the police to just put masks on.
And it's something that we've seen even in Queensland with this week reports coming out of Surfers Paradise that police arrested people for no real reason except just to prove the point. So it's something that we're seeing pretty much across the board as a, not so much as a national policy, but kind of as a
intimidation
tactics, and kind of what you were saying previously, Annie, with Arnie Rio, about what the power relations are between people, because we're seeing from what your reports are, Kath Strong, is that the police are just happy to exercise the whatever powers they are given, as we've seen in Sydney at the Palestine rally as well.
That's right. And the thing about when you give police more powers, what you're doing is you're giving them more ability to just deploy these laws that are being put in place against people in whatever way they decide they want to do it. And they are very, very, very rarely held to account for the things that they do, because people that they target are usually not just activists, but other vulnerable groups of people who don't have the time and resources to then go and follow up with, well, I'm going to sue the police for coming and trashing all of my stuff in my house. I'm going to sue the police for making me feel unsafe in the place where I live. So there's very little that ever happens to them in terms of them being held responsible. But at the same time, they can just absolutely wreak havoc in people's lives, whether it's going into their house and messing it up, or whether it's meaning that people have to go to court date after court date after court date. And what you often see is that charges will be dropped at the end of the day. So the police will often know that the charges aren't going to go anywhere in the end, but they know that they can make life so difficult for people in the meantime that it will discourage them from being activists. It's just like a form of punishment in and of itself, but it's a form of punishment that has no oversight.
Tell me, have you got any understanding of what they actually do when they arrive at a person's place?
The accounts that I've heard, I mean, they vary a little bit.
Sometimes do they announce themselves, like, or do they batter the door in for a start?
I think it depends. So sometimes they will just bash the door in and come in. Other times they will say, we're coming in, we've got a warrant. And it is really important, like, people get their heads around what their rights are in these situations. So I know that MALS, the Melbourne Activist Legal Service, their website and their Instagram has some good resources that people should check out around this. But they can come in. They have to tell you some basic stuff about who they're looking for or what they're looking for, because sometimes they're looking for particular items. And they can basically do whatever they want then in terms of finding the things that they're looking for. So they will pull things out of drawers, go through people's cupboards. It seems like a lot of the time it's like tech that they're looking for in these recent raids, so people's laptops and phones, that sort of thing.
They're creating a resource around contacts and strategy that activists may or may not have.
Well, also the thing they do when they seize your phone is that they use that Israeli technology, that Cellebrite, which creates a copy of your... of everything that's on your phone that becomes an accessible court record without any limits.
Yeah, so thinking about what you're doing with your tech, if there's anything on there that you would be concerned about falling into the hands of other people, that is something for people to be looking into if it's something they're in any way concerned about.
And because you're talking about it having started about 6 weeks ago, does that imply that the police have got a special unit that is being employed in this particular task?
I can't know for sure, but there definitely has been a sudden increase in these types of activities. I mean, they've always been happening, and I just want to sort of emphasise that these sorts of raids are always going on, but they, as I was saying before, normally being deployed against people who are more vulnerable and less likely to be sort of in a good community sort of setting where we hear about these things and talk about them in the way that we do with activists. So we can't forget that police are always out there doing these things to people. This is just a good opportunity for us to highlight it and say, look, this shouldn't be going on. But what we really have to keep in mind as well is that this is an intimidation tactic. This is a way of keeping people off the streets and keeping people out of organising spaces. And we can't let them scare us into backing down or not saying things that need to be said. So protest is so important at this point in time. And, like, it may mean that some people are going to cop this sort of treatment, but we just have to come together, look after the people who are being affected, and keep standing up for the million causes that we need to be out on the streets about at this point in time.
But just before I leave that part of it, are they the ordinary cops or are they critical response cops?
It sounds as though a lot of the time it's the critical response. I know that one of the women who did the Zelda protest had five cars of the public order response team or the critical, like one of the specialist sort of teams, five cars worth turn up at her house to arrest one person. Absolutely ridiculous use of public resources.
Well, it goes to what you were saying before about the intimidation tactics, but actually the really salient point that I think is you highlighted before is that if we know that technology is one of perhaps the primary targets now, especially for them gathering sort of intel, people's social media and contacts lists and this sort of thing, it beckons the question that, like, we should be more careful about digital security. We should be implementing, looking at different operating systems to run phones on, different modes of communication using encrypted communication software like Signal, or using more private email systems like Proton and stuff like this. Obviously, not all of these are—they're all still companies, and they're not the peak. But just for people to be more aware that their digital security is at risk.
Yeah, that's right. And to put as many barriers between somebody trying to get into it and being able to as possible. So whether that is regularly going through your Signal chats and clearing them out and deleting all the old ones you don't need anymore, leaving chats you don't need to be in anymore, or putting on extra passwords so you don't just have a password for your phone but also one for the apps that you go into that have that sort of information. None of it's going to be perfect, but everything is going to help.
Before we leave you, Kath, can you give us any understanding of how the people who've been attacked by the police like this are faring?
From what I've heard, I mean, it does sound like people have had a lot of support in terms of being looked after. I mean, at the same time, I think, like, traumatised in some cases, and it's not something I think that you just forget quickly and get on with your life straight away. And the other thing, of course, as I said before, is that you've then got this ongoing legal situation hanging over your head. I know a couple of the people from the Zelda protest have already been to court to have the bail conditions that they were given changed, because the other thing that happened was that they were given extremely onerous bail conditions after they were charged, which again is another thing that the police do sometimes to make it harder for people to just go about doing the activities that they want to do. It's using bail as a form of punishment also, which is not what bail is meant for. So it's good that people have been able to go and push back against that. But I think this is just, you know, a matter of, I mean, hopefully just ongoing support and people keeping an eye out for each other and remembering that the support needs to keep going through the whole
and
process.
To reiterate, that people need to go to Mel's website to get a full lowdown of appropriate behaviours.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Thanks for talking to us this morning, Kath.
Yep, no worries. Thanks for having me.